Main text of this morning is found in Galatians chapter 2. It's actually our focus of the message is on Galatians 2:20, which is our memory verse. So I don't know if it's possible or not for the people in the up there with the camera to put that up on the screen, but if not, it's all right. Should have let you know ahead of time. Chapter 2 of Galatians, and I'll read from verse 16 through the 21, focusing on verse 20. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you to work in our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit to open up your word to us in a way that we can't ourselves. We need your grace. We need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We need to see the glory of Christ. And we're just thankful for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we pray that you bless your word this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The crucifixion of Christ is in detail in all four Gospels. I don't know if you realize that or not. There are some scriptures that are in just the one gospel. Some are in all three, the first three, the synoptic gospels. But the crucifixion of Christ is in all four gospels in detail, some adding more details than others. And you get the whole picture if you read all four. Probably be good for us to, on a regular basis, read about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not the only place we read about his, and particular detail about his crucifixion. It's also there in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Psalm 22 comes to mind, or Isaiah 53. It's there and in full glory, of course, in the New Testament. So much so, so very important that the Apostle Paul makes the statement that he does in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks or Gentiles seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He goes on in chapter 2 to write, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's a reason why the crucifixion of Christ took place. It was no ordinary death. And there's a lot of reasons for that, that Jesus died on a cross. He was crucified, horribly tortured, and then crucified on that cross. Paul mentions it a lot, particularly in the letter to the Galatians, and highlights that crucifixion, but it is really throughout Scripture, and there's a reason why Jesus wasn't just stabbed to death or shot with an arrow or chopped with a sword. He was put on a cross and crucified and had a slow, torturous death that's detailed in Scripture. But for us and for our sake, the crucifixion of Christ is really, truly important, should be important in this church, the death of Christ in general. Jesus, as Paul mentions, Jesus Christ should be central in this church and Him crucified. In other words, His death, the whole substitutionary death known as a gospel without Christ crucified is no gospel. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And again, there's a reason why the crucifixion is highlighted, not only in the book of Galatians, but other places in Scripture. In Galatians chapter 3, we read about, for as many as of all the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Paul wanted them not to be trusting in the law, the Jewish ceremonial laws, anything else but Christ. And drives the point home over and over again. But he goes on to say, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. It was an Old Testament statute that there was a curse on a person who was hung on a tree out to die, out in the elements. And here, the crucifixion of Christ fit that bill. It was a Roman's invention and reserved for the worst of the worst of the criminals. And yet, Christ was crucified. That's so that He was looked upon. He bore the curse of God that we deserve in Himself, in His crucifixion. And so, Paul mentions in chapter 1 of Galatians, he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. Right away, he's looking to the death of Christ. Christ gave Himself. No one took His life from Him. He allowed Himself to be arrested, to be having go through mock trials, to be taken and tortured and whipped and then hung on a cross. All that was His doing. The will of the Father and of the Holy Spirit and, of course, of Christ. And we are to look to that in faith as believers. It's so important that we look to the death of Christ and particularly Him, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, who gave Himself for us that He might deliver us, save us. He's the deliverer, the Savior from this present evil age. Has anybody got any questions about our age being an evil age? Well, it was back then as well, and it is today, and it will be until Christ returns. That's the reality. But Christ saves us out of this world. He delivers us from all that's bad in this world, not the physical things that we have to suffer, not the suffering. Our suffering may be increased if we come to Christ. But the real important things, the spiritual things that are bad in this world, in this that are in our hearts. Then in chapter 2, verse 20, of course, our text. In verse 3, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, deceived you, bewitched you," he says, "that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." So how was he portrayed? Did they do a play about his crucifixion? Did they portray it in crucifixes around the church? No, they did none of that. It was through the preaching of the word. Jesus Christ and him crucified was preached in the church. And we can read these accounts and we can believe these accounts. We can see with spiritual eyesight. We don't need to have anything physical, a piece of the cross or anything ungodly like that, or crucifixes or anything. Christ crucified is portrayed in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and blessed to us by the Holy Spirit. That's what he means. He says, don't trust in your Jewishness, in the ceremonial laws or anything like that. Going back, he wants them to go look and trust in Christ and Christ alone. In chapter 6, again, he brings up crucifixion and the cross. He says, "See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh." They wanted them to be circumcised, to go back to keeping the law of Moses, to be circumcised, that they had to be circumcised. He says, "These would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." You see, if that was all their trust and hope, if that was all that they looked to, if that was all identified them as Christians, they would suffer persecution. But if they had just gave in a little bit and got circumcised and kept a few of the ceremonial laws, they would escape that persecution. Paul says, no. He says, take the persecution, be faithful to God, and trust in Christ and him crucified alone. So Paul says, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh." But here's his testimony. Here's what he trusts in. He says, "But God forbid that I should boast, or glory in, or boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." Again, the crucifixion of Christ, the importance of Christ's death, his substitutionary death for us. And this was a devotion taken from a devotion of Charles Spurgeon. He writes, "It seems to me that the best and most tender duty that Christians do for their Lord Jesus Christ is that which is touched by the blood mark which bears the stamp of the cross. The best preaching is we preach Christ crucified. The best living is we are crucified with Christ. The best man is a crucified man. The more we live beholding our Lord's unutterable grief and understand how he has fully put away our sins, the more holiness we shall produce. The more we dwell where the cries of Calvary can be heard, where we can view heaven and earth and hell all moved by his wondrous sufferings, the nobler will our lives become. Nothing puts life into men like a dying Savior. Come, let us slay sin, for Christ is slain. Come, let us bury our pride, for Christ was buried. Come, let us rise to newness of life, for Christ has risen. Let us be united with our crucified Lord in his one great object let us live and die with Him, that every action of our lives will be very beautiful. So Spurgeon knew, and we should know, how much we need to live in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in what He's done in that crucifixion, but also experiencing the power. And that's what Paul is highlighting here in verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is a verse that you want to memorize. If you're going to pick a verse to memorize, this is really, really a good verse to memorize. And hopefully after the message this morning, you'll have a greater appreciation. What does Paul mean by, I have been crucified with Christ? Was Paul there at his crucifixion, and he was somehow in the back of the cross being crucified? No, he wasn't even there. How is he then can say, I have been crucified with Christ? Well, there are only two others that were crucified with him on that day. One thief on his right, the other on his left. Both blaspheming him, mocking him, cursing him, until there was a radical change, a supernatural change in the heart of the one criminal who repented and looked to Christ in simple faith and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So that was true. There were two thieves and Jesus on the cross, crucified, that horrible, torturous death. So Paul here, what is he saying? He's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. You see, the crucifixion of Christ has power in our lives. As we behold it, as we read about the crucifixion of Christ, as we trust in the crucifixion and all that was accomplished in His death for us, and that realizing that we could never add anything by our law keeping, by our good behavior, by our good works, by our religion, nothing can be added to the work of Christ. We have to trust in Jesus Christ and His completed, finished work. One of the things He said on the cross is, He amazingly said things when He was hanging in that heat and no water, just dying and bleeding. He said, it is finished. And then He gave up His spirit. No one took it from Him. It says specifically that He gave His life. He gave it up. He was in control when He died. And just the moment when it was finished, when all the work of our redemption was accomplished, all our sins borne by Him, the full wrath of God poured out in those 3 hours of darkness. It went dark, completely dark. And that's when the wrath of God was fully poured out for what our sins deserve. Every one of our sins caused Him to suffer. And so that's the way that when we look at the cross, when we look at Christ crucified, when we read about it, it should just remind us, but do more than that. It should humble us and bring us to repentance and increase and strengthen our faith. And that's a big part of what we do as we remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper and remember His death and His broken body for us. But Paul was crucified with Christ. Everybody who is a true Christian has been crucified with Christ. No exceptions. Not one true believer. This is not just speaking about the Apostle Paul or some great set of Christians that we might admire, and they were crucified and look at their life. We can see it. Obviously, they do great things for the Lord, so they must be the ones that were crucified. No. Every single Christian, young and old, weak faith, great faith, just those who barely hang in there and hang on, we've all been crucified with Christ. In our union with Christ, we've died with Him. Apostle Paul makes a point very clear in Romans 6. If you want to turn there, therefore we were buried with Him, 6:4, through baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, the key to understanding our salvation, the key to living the Christian life, the key to everything is the important doctrine of union with Christ, that when we believed into Christ, we were united to Him and were adopted into the family of God, and all the blessings are in Christ. Look up every phrase, and especially in the New Testament, where it says, in Christ Jesus. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. It's our union with Christ, and that's what Paul is speaking about here in chapter 6. For if we have been united to him in the likeness of his death, that's the crucifixion. That's where we were crucified with him. He wasn't only crucified for himself, bore our sins on the cross. We were crucified in him. Whether we were alive at that time and looking at it, or we read about it now so many years later, we were crucified with him. And in it, it's our union with Christ. And just as he died, we died. We were crucified. There are practical applications of that. And also, just as he didn't remain in the grave, but he rose again on the third day, we rose with him to newness of life. So what the apostle is saying here, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Being crucified with Christ, the power of sin is broken. We no longer are slaves to sin and slaves to Satan. That's a practical application of being crucified with Christ. And he says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. We still sin, but we no longer are slaves to sin and slaves to Satan. We can obey God. We should obey God. We the more we focus on Christ and Him crucified, the more strength we'll have to obey God and show our love to Him. Now, if we died with Christ, there again, crucified with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, died no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. You see the same language is here in Galatians 2:20. Living to God, being crucified, and yet we live. Doesn't make any sense. But now we live spiritually, we have life, and we live to God because we've been crucified with Christ. Because that power of sin has been broken. It's all about our union with Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never truly come to Christ, you need to be saved. Your sins will take you to hell. Your sins have dominion over you. They're enslaving you. You really, truly can't be free. And Satan has you blinded. The only hope for sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, trusting in Him and Him alone and all that He did for you on the cross in dying for sinners. Faith in Christ. It's not the works of the law. It's not doing good works or being religious or anything we could do, but trusting in Christ, repenting of our sins, realizing we are desperate sinners who need to be saved, and calling upon the name of the Lord. Jesus calls you this morning to come to Him, and He will give you true peace and rest in Him. So please consider that. Union with Christ, in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. All of us have who are in Christ. The power of sin being broken. No longer does the law of God have a hold on us and saying that if we don't keep it perfectly, we'll be condemned. And that's part of his curse bearing. It says, the man who tries to keep the law, to set up a righteousness of his own, is going to fail. It can't make us right with God. No amount of law keeping, no amount of striving, the law simply condemns us. When we're saved and we're set free and we're crucified with Christ, now we can live and keep the law of God out of love to God. But before that, if you want to try to be justified by keeping the law, go ahead. But you can't do it. It was never meant to justify. It's Christ alone is the justifier. God is the one who justifies us. Christ is the one who hung on a tree, becoming a curse for us. And so he bore that curse, crucified. And then Paul says, it is no longer I who live. The purpose of the crucifixion is that now we can live to God by faith. He says, I live. It's a spiritual life. We've been born again. We are new creations. That's what Paul said in verse 15 of chapter 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Nothing we do in religion is going to merit us salvation. It's the new creation, being born again by the Spirit. It's spiritual life in the soul. Now we have the Holy Spirit. We're alive to God. And where we were dead and the law kept us in bondage, and now we're alive to God. He says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. How does he do that? He lives in us by his Holy Spirit indwelling us. And it's a beautiful work, and the Spirit works and produces fruit, and we become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. That means transformed. That means become more Christ-like day by day, little by little, painfully slow, but still it's there. It's a work, living to God. Now he says, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, what does that mean? It means that in this world, we're still humans. We may be born again, new creatures in Christ, new creations. All things have passed away. All things have become new. But yet, we're still in this world. God's will was not to take us out of this world as soon as we were saved, but to leave us here to serve him, to love him, to become more and more like him, to witness to others. We have a lot of things that we can do. It's called the life in the flesh, life in this world. Why are we here? We're here to live by faith in the Son of God. That's how we do it. That's how the Christian life is lived, by faith. We never get away from faith. Faith is a gift of God. Jesus, who we're told to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame and went to the cross, sat down at the right hand of God. He died for us. As Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me. The cross has a power. The death of Christ, the blood of Christ, when we remember it, when we think of it, when we thank God for it, when we live in light of it, not going back and trying to earn God's love by our good deeds and our good works and our striving and our amount of prayers. And you can't do it. We can't do it. We need again and over and over and over again to be looking to Jesus, crying out to him for more faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is how we live the Christian life. We need it. Paul reminds us here, I live by faith. I live by faith. There's a lot of I statements here by the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified. I who live. Christ lives in me. I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. It's a gift of God, yet it's directed always, always, always back to Christ. Faith in Christ. Daily, not just a one-time thing. Oh, I did that. But it's a daily looking unto Jesus for more faith, to strengthen our faith, to repent again over and over and over again, to believe in him continually every single day. And then Paul gives this great statement about the Son of God, about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who loved me and gave himself for me? The great demonstration of love of the Father is by sending the Son, giving him to us. Great demonstration of Christ's love for us, all who are in Christ Jesus, is that he was crucified for us. He gave himself for us. No one took his life. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life. I give my life for my sheep. It's the thing that drove Paul, meditating on Christ, meditating on his crucifixion, meditating on what Christ did for him, what made Paul what Paul is. If you admire Paul, that's great. How do you become more and more like Paul? Well, you meditate on Jesus Christ. You strive to focus on Christ and Him crucified. Ultimately, it's not Paul, because Paul was a sinner like us, but it's Christ. How do we become more like Christ? We focus on Him, and especially His death, who loved me. How did He demonstrate that love? He gave Himself for me. In Ephesians, one of the key verses in Ephesians 5 is verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Sure, no problem. Imitators of God. You got that? That's good. Very easy. Right? No. No way. Be imitators of God. How do you do that? Well, you walk in love. Okay. That's not easy either. That's impossible, right? Apart from the grace of God. As Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us. You see, it brings us right back to His death, His crucifixion, His atonement, His shedding His blood for us. That's how we walk in a way that's going to be glorifying to God in love, as the apostle puts it. And His offering to God was an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God accepted the sacrifice. Christ rose from the dead, and God loves us. Paul always loves to go back there, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself, His own special people, zealous for good works. Again, going back and focusing on Christ and Him crucified. It's throughout Scripture. It's in Isaiah 53. Read it. Paul was an amazing apostle, probably the greatest, I would say, of the apostles. And how did he get that way? He says it in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says it here. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He loved us and He gave Himself for us, all of His people. But it's personal as well. Paul writes in chapter 3 of Philippians, for indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul suffered and lost much. Much had to do with his pride of being a Pharisee of a Pharisee, a Jew of a Jew. If anyone could trust in the flesh, it was the Apostle Paul. But all that was dung, was rubbish to him, that he might gain Christ and be found in Him. We believe into Christ, not having a righteousness which is from the law. Paul says it's worthless. Your righteousness is from law keeping, religion, good works, anything else, it's worthless. Paul wasn't trusting, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him. Who? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? It implies a knowledge, a real knowledge and a love and a knowledge, not just know about, but know Him, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, His power in the crucifixion, His power in the resurrection, our union with Christ, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Yes, we will suffer because and in Christ, but the future is certain. The best is yet to come for the Christian. So focusing on his crucifixion and all that we focus on in Christ will produce a resting and a trusting in Christ more and more. Read the Gospels. Read the four accounts of Christ's crucifixion. Read it often and read it with prayer that we might see. I read a copied a poem that speaks about, we read, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's a great thing to do, to read those great hymns, especially the ones that focus on Christ and Him crucified. This is a poem. When on the cross my Lord I see, bleeding to death for wretched me, Satan and sin no more can move, for I am all transformed to love. His thorns and nails pierce through my heart, in every groan I bear a part. I view His wounds with streaming eyes. But see, He bows His head and dies. Come, sinners, view the Lamb of God, wounded and dead, bathed in blood. Bolt his side and venture near. Behold his side and venture near. The well of endless life is here. Here I forget my cares and pains. I drink, yet still my thirst remains. Only the fountainhead above can satisfy the thirst of love. Oh, that I thus could always feel, Lord, more and more your love reveal. Then my glad tongue shall loud proclaim the grace and glory of your name. Your name dispels my guilt and fear. Revive my heart and charm my ear. Afford a balm for every wound. And Satan trembles at the sound. So remember that verse, memorize that verse, and think about, especially as we take the Lord's Supper today, our Lord and Savior and his death for us. Let's pray. Father, we just look to you for, again, to do what we can't do. We've heard your word in our ears. We've registered to some degree or another, more or less, in our minds. But we pray that you would give us faith, and by the faith, move our hearts, let it get down into our hearts, and to love and to trust you more, to love our dear Savior who is crucified for us, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross. And Father, we just thank you for him. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells us and the spiritual life we have in and through Christ. We pray that our faith would fix more and more on Christ and him crucified. And Father, even today, this very day, it would change us and draw sinners to yourself through the death of your Son. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.